As I told you, maybe do a couple names in a night, but it's just not working out like that. And so tonight we'll look at another name for the Lord. And as we study that, Philippians chapter 2, I'll read to you verses 1 through 11. And then we're going to go to Genesis 15, find ourselves in Genesis 24, and so on and so forth. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. God, thank you for the testimonies. God, thank you for your word that has impacted our hearts. God, thank you for the sweet songs of Zion that we could lift to you. Lord, your word reminds us that you must increase and we must decrease. Paul said that when we're weak, that's when we're strong. Lord, I really do need you tonight. I need your help, need your power, need your thoughts. God, I don't want to say anything in here of myself. Lord, use your word in a powerful way to grab a hold of our heart in this very important thought. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple weeks ago, or I think it was a couple weeks ago, we saw the name of God, God. And last week we studied Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah. Tonight we're going to look at what the Hebrew would say is Adonai. Look at Genesis chapter 15. In your Bible, it's written not as Adonai, but it's written as capital L, lowercase O, R, D. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in the vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God. Notice the difference of the writing in verse 1 to verse 2. In verse 1, capital L-O-R-D is all capitalized. Lord, all capitalized, referring back to Jehovah, the most holy name. And then when we go to verse 2, Abraham speaks. And what he says is pretty much, Abram said, Lord God, wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is the Eliezer of Damascus? We're going to see Eliezer later on, possibly in Genesis 24. But this is the first time the word capital L, lowercase O-R-D is used in your Bible. So what's the difference between that one and the first one in verse 1? Well, it has a different meaning. And the men that translated our scriptures wrote it like that on purpose. There's not a typo. It's not a mistake. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D is Jehovah God. Capital L, lowercase O-R-D is Master. Master. There's a very important relationship between God and man. And that is of master and servant. The Lord reminds us of this thought because He uses this word specifically over 300 times in your Old Testament. Say, why doesn't He use it in the New Testament? Well, the thought is there. It's just Hebrew is Old Testament. You understand that? Approximately 300 times in the Old Testament. And it established a very important relationship, again, between God and man. God being the master, and us being His servant. There's a beautiful story. I love the story. Genesis chapter 24. My mom, when she would tell a story, we would say she went all the way around the block to get next door. You understand what I mean by that? You could have just went from here to here, but she went this way. A lot of peripheral information. When I read Genesis chapter 24, not that there's extra information, but the servant repeats himself a little bit. He's got to tell exactly what happened. Thankfully, because it shows us an important principle. But I love the story. There's so much in Genesis chapter 24. I love this passage. It's a love story. Mr. Seatman, this is a Hallmark movie right here. I mean, this is it. You have some gentle snow falling. You got it. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of the house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. That's how they made a covenant. It was kind of like shaking hands, showing the seriousness about what he was going to ask of him. I can do this with my children if I ask them to do something. Sophie, can you go get the laundry out of the basement? That's a request thrown out. Sophia, come here. Stand right here. Look in my eyes. I want you to go downstairs and get the laundry out of the basement. Same exact thing, but one had a little more emphasis. When Abraham put his leg underneath the thigh of his servant, that showed him this is serious. Verse 3, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Here, not so much the word are we looking at, but the principle. This servant is an excellent response to how we should respond to the Lord. The Lord may be represented by Abraham here in the story. He goes to his servant and he says, I have a job for you. Is Abraham within his right to ask his servant to do a special task? Absolutely. He is within his right to do that. And Eliezer, whoever it is, in chapter 15, we are given him by name. Maybe it's a different person, maybe a different guy. It just refers to him as the servant in this passage. But very specific directions were given to the servant about finding a wife for Isaac. The servant is a good servant. Here's what we can take away from this. As we are the servant of God, it's important that God is our Adonai. What is that? Master. Is there anything that God could come to us and say, Nate, here's what I need you to do. I have a job for you. I'm kind of busy. I got a lot of other things. There's nothing that God could not ask of us that we should balk at in any way. And this servant does just what he's supposed to do. Look at verse 9. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. He listened to what he said. He paid attention. He followed it. He didn't say, well, this is what I think my master means, and made it simpler for himself. This was a big undertaking. But as a good servant, number one, he listened carefully to the instructions and directions from his master. When he had a question about what to do, sure, the servant then grabs some camels and he goes and look at verse 12. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. And what is he doing? He's saying, God, here's my task. Here's my responsibility, but I need your help. Lord places things in front of us as his servants. And we would do well, number one, to listen carefully to the instructions. But number two, as the Lord has guided us, we go back to him asking for help. That's a key part of this. Number three, that we follow the orders completely. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass before he had done, so what happens is the servant prays and says, here's what I would really like. Here, let's read in verse 14. And it came to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. He says, I'm going to go stand over there by the well. I got my camels. Could we just make this easy? Can you just send the one I'm supposed to bring back to Abraham's son Isaac? Can you just make her come up here and just give the water to the camel? It's like Gideon throwing out the fleece. God didn't have to do that, but he does. He's not done saying it. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass before he had the opportunity to say, in Jesus' name, amen. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. Remember the qualifications. Got to be of his family. With her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. Why was she at the well? Why do you go to the well? To get water, right? I mean, that's the same reason. I mean, we all love Wegmans, but we usually go to Wegmans to get food and groceries. We don't just go walking around Wegmans. No cart, no nothing. I just love this place. No, we go to that place because we need stuff. She was at the well with a pitcher because she needed water. And he's like, hey, can I get a drink? I am so thirsty. And she said, drink, my Lord, in verse 18. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. I'm not sure if you're familiar or you're up on camel protocol. But the Bible told us that he brought a number of camels. I think it was 10. Camels are known for their ability for long distances through desert because they store a ton of water. But when they're out, we started, been telling you, you're kind of following our building project upstairs at our house, started sanding drywall. I did a section. Is Seth here? Where's Seth? Oh, Seth. So I mudded and I did by hand a section about right here. And then I sat down for a minute because I was tired. I'm old. And you're. Everyone warned me, hey, put the mud on thin. Well, I didn't put it on so thin, so I had a lot to get off. Man, when does she get tired? She doesn't. She gives enough water for all the camels. God is just meeting these needs. It's unbelievable. And he does, and the servant does exactly what he was told. And then, so number one, a good servant listens to directions. Number two, seeks God for guidance. Number three, follows his master's orders completely. Number four, expresses thanks for the direction. Look at Genesis chapter 24 and verse 26. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Why? Because God sent exactly what he said he would do. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. The servant doesn't come out and say, let me tell you what a great job I did. Man, I knew the best place to go was the well. I knew I would find a good wife there. Oh, yeah, I knew that. And I knew exactly what to tell the Lord. This was perfect. No, he just thanks God. He says, thank you, Lord. A good servant expresses thanks. A good servant refuses to get sidetracked. So, here's what happens. I'm going to make a long story short. We're going to not go all the way around the block. We're just going to go right next door, all right? So here's what happens. She goes back, she gets some food, has a little spot to stay, and he meets Laban. How many of you read your Bible before? How many of you know about Laban? Laban is a character. He's tricky and shady. He sees his daughter come walking in with these bracelets and earrings. He's like, you didn't leave the house like that. Where did those come from? Oh, I met this guy, and he wants, and he's talking, and so he puts forth the proposal, and they accept. And then the servant tells them everything that just happened, that we just read about that just happened. So we're going to jump ahead. And go to Genesis chapter 24 and verse 55. This verse 54. And they did eat and drink, and the men that were with him and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. He says, I've done what I've come to do. I need to get back. No. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. How about you work here for about 7 years for my daughter? Same guy. How about you stay for, just a day or 10? See, the devil will come into your life as the servant of God and try and distract you in the midst of doing right. I love what the servant says. And he said unto them, hinder me not. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. He says, I'm not going to get sidetracked. I've come to accomplish a mission, and that has been satisfied. By the end of the chapter, look at the blessing he gets to see, the servant. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 66. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. He brings back Rebekah. There she is. He sees Isaac. It's love at first sight. It's wonderful. And the servant gets to the joy of what God has done around him. This servant is a good servant. Do you see the parallels of our relationship with the Lord and the things that are in this passage? Jesus Christ is the perfect example of servanthood. We read about this in Philippians chapter 2, but I want you to look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Have you ate too much at Christmas Eve, Christmas Day? Anybody? I'm still not right. I'm still like on food coma. My own doing. I got no one to blame. So what does that have to do with the message? Nothing. I'm just waiting for you to get to John chapter 6. Verse 38. This is Christ talking. Christ, our example of what a servant is. In John chapter 6 and verse 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Remember, the servant in Genesis chapter 24 had to accomplish exactly what his master Abraham had told him. Go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. What are we looking at? We're looking at the thought of God being our master. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus is the perfect example of obedience and servanthood. John chapter 13. So I just got to Mark 10. I'm sorry. I'm going quick. John chapter 13. John 13, 13 says, "Call ye me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am." We just read how Christ is the servant. How could he be the servant and the master? Because he's our master, fulfilling the servanthood or the will of the Father. Verse 14, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet," if it's good for Jesus to wash feet, well, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, we've talked about this before, just recently. Does that mean we go around actually washing people's feet? Probably not. But the mentality and the principle is there. I serve you, expecting nothing in return. "For I have given," verse 15, "for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Jesus Christ, the perfect example of a servant. I'm going to ask you this question tonight. Do you know the Lord? Say, "Of course I know the Lord. Look where I'm sitting. It's a Sunday night. It's 2 days after Christmas. I could be sitting at home playing with my presents and games and watching TV and relaxing. I'm in church, aren't I? Of course I know God." Well, some people refer to Jesus as Lord and are not truly saved. They've never trusted Christ as their personal Savior. You can go to church. You can do works even in His name, but never know Him personally. Matthew chapter 7. These are sobering verses. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord," do you see how it's written there? "Not everyone that calls me master shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works?" And God responds, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Hey, we can make our hands look busy for the things of God, but if our heart has never trusted Christ, we don't really know the Lord. You may know about Him, but not truly believed in Him. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Nope, Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I'm going to ask you tonight, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Say, "Of course, I grew up in church. I know all these stories. You actually messed it up a little better. I've heard it preached better. I've been in services 3 times a week since I was..." I'm going to ask you just point blank, are you saved? The Bible says in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." The works come after. Serving Him comes after. My question right now is, do you know Him? If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Do you have the confidence of that? Not just the answer. Have you believed? In school, our students do the ACE curriculum. And there is a possibility that you could have the right answer and not know how to do it. Say, how is that possible? Because we have something called a score key. It tells you all the answers. Lydia, what is the square root of 169? You don't know. It's 13. So now you know the answer, you just don't know how to get it. And so many of, there's a possibility that we know the right answer to say, but don't have a relationship with God. I'm a sinner, yep, I've sinned. I'm not trying to retread something. I just want it to be sincere and real. Because I read these verses and they make me shudder in my heart. These are the verses you set down your Bible for a second and just take some inventory and say, God, as best as I know, you stop for a minute because this is serious. There's ball games being played all weekend. This is serious. There's foolishness happening in Washington. This is serious. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're a Christian, you belong to the Lord. Isn't that good news? What better place that you could put yourself? As a Christian, there's no one else I want to own me than God. That's what I signed up for. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians 6:19 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own?" He says, don't you know that? "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Once, as a child of God, you are saved, then you can glorify God. You can serve Him. And God has every right to expect complete obedience to what He has asked you to do. Now, again, we have the Noah principle. Say, what is that? All right. God told Noah, Teddy, what did God tell Noah to build? An ark. Was that God's will for Noah? Yes. Is that God's will for you? Are you to build an ark? No. Probably not. I've seen some strange things over at the Humvee house. Maybe there's an ark on the way, bud. But God told Noah to build an ark. All too often, know what we do? We look at it and say, what did God tell him to do? Well, that's what I'm going to do then, because he hadn't told me, I don't know. And I'm going to do what it... We're building arcs. We're trying to part water. No, do what it is that God has told you to do. Yeah, but I like his job better. Partial obedience is disobedience. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. What are we trying to work towards here tonight? He's the master, we're the servant. And it is reasonable for him as the master to expect his children to serve him. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is not unreasonable of God to say, I want all of you way over there. And I want you right there. Yeah, but I want to go over there. Sit down. Yeah, but I got a plan. You have no idea. Can I say being a servant sometimes is difficult? Ever feel like the job that you've been handed is overwhelming? God, you gave me the wrong assignment. Remember this. The servant-master relationship is a two-way street. You have a responsibility. Your job is the servant. Your job is to obey the master. The master's job is to provide guidance and protection along the way. That's God's responsibility. Hebrews chapter 13. You got a verse for that? Absolutely. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at this great verse. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. So that we may boldly say, what does that mean? With confidence. I don't know a lot of things, but I can say this about my God. The Lord is my helper. Do you see how Lord is written there? My master is my helper. That's God's obligation. My obligation, and it's not unreasonable, is to obey. Obey exactly what God says. His responsibility is to help along the way. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me, he says. Look at chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do whatever you want. Is that what it says? No, it says, I will equip you, I will help you, I will help you get there to do my will. Working in you, which is well-pleasing in His sight through Christ. To be glory forever and ever, amen. I'm going to do things with you. I will help you and do it in a way that only I can get glory. Because remember, God doesn't share glory. He's the jealous God. He gets it all. And He somehow works in our life. And He does things with us. He helps us, equips us to perform our assigned tasks, missions, whatever you want to call it, that He gets glory from it. But it's to do His will, not yours. Because you are the servant. He is the master. Matthew chapter 25. Say, you weren't kidding about the clock. You don't care, do you? Not at all. No, a little. We're almost done. We're almost there. You've made it. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country. He called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. Who do you love most? Doesn't say. Who do you think more highly of? Doesn't say. Say, well, obviously the guy that he gave. No. He gave some to everybody. We've all been given a responsibility by God. And to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then when he had received the 5 talents, went and traded the same, and made them other 5 talents. Jump down to verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And look at what he says. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Faithful servants of the Lord will one day hear, well done. I'm going to ask you another question. Are you committed to a service no matter the cost? You know, the Bible tells me in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. I want to show you this just real quick out of Exodus chapter 4, because I feel like it's us. Exodus chapter 4. Hey, there's a reward for doing right. God says that He has some things for us waiting on the other side. You serve Him, and He says, I'll take care of it. In Exodus chapter 4, God is trying to work with Moses to go deliver the nation of Israel, and He gives him three signs. He says, here's what I'm going to do. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor heathen unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what's in thy hand? He said, a rod. And He said, cast it on the ground. And He cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it, because that's what normal people do when they see a snake. They run away. They don't get them as pets. They don't wrap them around their neck. They don't handle them. Normal people run when they see snakes. That might not be in your Bible, but that's in my Bible. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. God gives him three reasons. I'll tell you, he then takes his hand and he puts it inside his jacket and he pulls it out, and it's leprous. He says, if they don't believe the rod thing, take your hand, show them leprosy. And then put it back and it becomes normal. He says, what happens if they stump? All right, go get a pitcher of water, dump it out. And as he dumps it out, it turns to blood. God gave him three reasons to go. You know what Moses responded with? An excuse. Look at verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord. You see how he wrote? Oh, my Lord. He called him master, but he didn't obey. Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. God gave him three signs to take the nation of Israel, and Moses responds with an excuse. God gives us good reason. Hey, I want you to go over there and I want you to serve me. Here, look at what I'm going to prepare you. I've been preparing you all your life. Here you are. I have this job for you. And what do we come back with? An excuse. Well, you know, I'm just starting out as a family, or work's been busy, and I got this project, and I'm slow to speech. God responds with this, and the Lord said unto him, who hast made man's mouth? I don't want to say the Lord is threatening Moses, but he then asks another question. Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? He says, I understand your speech and don't worry about it. I can do things. In verse 12, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. God's response, He even works with our unfaithfulness and our excuses. In verse 13, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite? He calls him Lord, but he's not obeying. Say, what does that mean? Sometimes our talk doesn't match our actions. And you know what God's most concerned about? Our actions. Oh, we can call Him Lord, but do we really serve Him? I want to show you one last verse, Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Luke 6, 46. And then we'll stand. Luke 6, 46. He asks a question, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say." Hey, Christian, I'm asking the same question tonight. Coming into church, our tie is nice. Shoes match our belt. Fancy socks. I got a new tie thanks to the Kopacheskis over there. Fountain pen. Bible. Extra little thing here. Singing the songs, but in my heart. You're dressed up in your pretty dress and you got the nice shoes on. New Christmas outfit. You call Him Lord. But you don't obey. A couple weeks ago, we saw God as our Creator. Last week, we saw God Jehovah. Tonight, we looked at the thought of Him being our Master. More of the focus on us as the servant. If ye will do the will of God, let's all stand. I'm going to ask you a pointed question right now. Are you saved? Are you saved tonight? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt if you were to die today where you spend eternity? Have you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins? Not just know about the Lord, but truly know Him. Number two, what changes do you need to make in the following areas in obedience to the Lord and His Word? Number one, what you say. Number two, what you do, what you think, your relationships, your job, and your future plans. If you're planning all that out, not considering that you are a servant of God, and you're not asking the Lord to lead you every step of the way, you're not a good servant. You've messed up the servant-master relationship. I want to encourage you here tonight. Do you know I've said a lot of pointed and sharp things tonight, and the Lord smote my heart with this message. These passages, as I read through them, tears fell from my face. Because I know in my heart there's been areas that I have not served completely, that I would say is disobedient because I have not fulfilled exactly what God has said. So understand that your preacher is the same boat as you are. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just trying to help you get this relationship right tonight. You're the servant. He's the master. In a moment, the music will play, and I invite you to the altar to discuss with the Lord whatever it is that He's placed on your heart. If you need help praying, let me know. If you're here tonight and you're not sure about your salvation, I'll let you talk to somebody. If you're a lady, if you're a gentleman, maybe myself, maybe somebody else. But what changes need to happen in your life so you could say that you're in obedience to the Lord and His Word? Heavenly Father, we ask that You bless this time of invitation now. I know we've been long. I know it's been a good service here tonight. Thank You for the singing. Thank You for Your Word, how it touches our heart. Lord, I pray You bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?